Good morning. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'm Janine, and this is Get the Funk Out. Before I bring on my next guest, I just want to give a shout out to all of my listeners from last week and my new listeners who are actually part of Group 7. I have been overwhelmed by the response, and it's been unbelievable. And if you didn't tune in, basically I featured Sophia James, whose song blew up, her song So Unfair. And she created these groups, and it was this major TikTok experiment, which has really taken over everyone's For You page. And apparently I'm in Group 7, which means the algorithm and I are finally on the same wavelength, and it only took this viral indie artist to make that happen. So I want to give a shout out to a lot of the people who commented on one of these TikToks I created. It's been amazing to see where you're all from, how you're all feeling, and how supportive you are of Sophia. Not only supportive of Sophia, but of one another. And it's been a refreshing change to see this, to see these new connections being made. So here I'm going to give a shout out, and there are hundreds. I'm not going to be able to name everybody, but I have people from all over the world who commented, who were listening. For instance, Lo from the UK, Lorna from Canada, Mikael from Sweden, Kika in France, as well as Rosalie, and someone by the name of GPA7878, who said, "Bonjour, ma chérie." Someone from Pennsylvania, South Carolina, "Hi, Sandy." Mary from California, San Francisco, Finland, Texas, Arizona, Scotland, and the list goes on and on. So Sophia James literally broke the internet with her TikTok experiment. 7 posts, and somehow we all ended up with this lucky G7. If you haven't heard her song, So Unfair, it's a great song. And she also created a post, which was so wonderful, showing her appreciation. She was completely dumbfounded by what took off with these different groups, and specifically G7, and what it meant to you. And the message is, as she was saying, is support indie artists. And that's what we do here at KUCI, support the artists. It's not easy to make it in this industry. So anyway, I'm going to play another one of Sophia James's song a little later on, but I just want to jump on and say thank you. And it's great to connect with all of you. And I really love doing the show, but I do love connecting with new people. And it's nice to do something non-political for a change. All right, we'll take a little break and then we'll be back. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. All right, we are back. I'm Janine. This is KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. And joining me right now is author Kay Currington. She is a lifelong animal lover and advocate, and she's talking about her new book, Scrim, a New Orleans story of resilience and rescue. Good morning, Kay.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you for having me.
What a beautiful story. What made you decide to craft this story?
Well, honestly, I have always, all my life, had a hobby of writing these kind of rhyming toasts, like if you were getting married or having a baby shower or something and you needed to make a toast, I would write for you a funny rhyme.
I love
that. If you wanted me to. And a friend knew that I did this, and he was a published author, and he thought that the story of Scrim had great potential, and he said to me, "You ought to do one of your rhyming toasts and send it to my publisher," and I did, and the rest is history. So I can't really take credit for the idea, but I'm so happy that it translated so well.
That's fantastic. So tell us, without giving too much away for listeners, tell us about Scrim.
So Scrim was a missing dog that, if you were living in New Orleans last year, you just could not have heard about him. He was kind of a Houdini. He kept escaping from rescue places. We think now that he was trying to find his original family who abandoned him, and is how he ended up in a shelter to begin with. You know, you hear these stories about dogs, you know, finding their way back from Los Angeles to Tucson or something, you know, and they'll just, they're so loyal, and they'll look for their family of origin if they are abandoned. And what happened to Scrim is he had a very dramatic escape from a rescue facility by, he's just a little thing, mind you, by jumping off of the second floor window, chewing through a window screen, jumping off the second floor of a rescue facility. Ugh. And all of this was caught on a Ring camera. And so this very dramatic jump, and you expect this little tiny terrier to hit the pavement and, you know, flat.
Sure.
But he jumps up, runs off, and proceeds to go missing for months. And if you see the video of this daring escape and jump, which is actually in a QR code in the back of the book,
yes,
you can't help but think, okay, this dog is some kind of magical creature.
And I know.
So I think that video just caught everyone's attention, and all of New Orleans started looking for him. And then the national press picked it up, and the video was on all the national news and everything. And all of New Orleans started leaving food and water out for this dog and posting where he was last seen on scrimtracker.com.
Yeah, I saw that.
Website. And the whole city pulled together and looked for this dog and left food out for him. And this went on for months and months, and he finally was rescued. And I'll get to that in a minute, because I'm answering your question so long. But that's how Scrim kind of went viral.
Unbelievable. And he really did capture the hearts of people, which is beautiful.
He did. He was even in the London newspaper. So he became an international celebrity. And it, I think it is because he just kept beating the odds. Mm-hmm. I mean, when they found him finally, he had some kind of a pellet or bullet of some kind in him.
So awful.
There's another camera that captured him almost getting run over by a train.
Ugh.
He was in the very freakish and strange snow/ice storm that hit New Orleans this year earlier, which is terribly strange. We just don't have those. And everyone thought, well, there goes Scrim. But
sure,
he just survived all these things. It's like he has the 9 lives of a cat.
Ugh.
And what finally got him, which is kind of funny, is that there's a wonderful organization here called Trap That Cat. And they put these humane traps out for feral cats. And then they neuter or spay the feral cats and put them back where they were. So they don't hurt the cat, but they keep the feral cat population down. And despite the fact that all of New Orleans was leaving food and water out for Scrim, which he did take advantage of, and plenty of people have their security cameras capturing Scrim, you know, eating all the food on their front porch, but nobody could ever catch him because he's such a little Houdini. He finally climbed into a Trap That Cat feral cat trap, and that woman went to check her trap, and what, you know, she called the missing Scrim facility and said, I think I finally got Scrim. And that was
unbelievable.
After months and months of being on the run,
he turned himself in.
All of New Orleans looking for him.
He turned himself in. Okay.
He did. He did.
Yeah.
And to see him go from this, you know, hungry looking, dirty looking, scruffy, on the run for months little dog in some of these QR codes in the back of the book, to his current situation with the owner of the rescue facility from which he originally escaped is a wonderful woman named Michelle Cherami, and she owns Zeus's Rescues in New Orleans. So she ended up adopting him. She put so much of her life into finding Scrim.
Yeah.
And she finally adopted him when he came back, and now he is living his best life, getting belly rubs on the sofa at Michelle's house with her other rescue dog, Scooby.
I love it.
To see the transformation of this little dog that just looks like he's barely hanging on to playing and getting belly rubs in his house with Michelle is so rewarding to see. He's so
adorable.
Happy now.
Adorable.
It's adorable. It's such a happy ending, and that's the kind of story the world's looking for right now, right?
I agree.
It really brought people together.
About how old was he at the time of this big runaway?
They think he was about 3, but, you know, with a stray, it's kind of hard to say.
Sure.
But they think he's about 3.
Unbelievable. I love this story. And the illustrator of this book, could you tell me about how you collaborated with her?
Isn't she just fabulous?
She
her name is Eileen Bennett. She's a British woman. And honestly, this is my first foray into publishing. And so the publisher knew of her. And I didn't have to find her or anything like that. And the wonderful publisher, Susan Schatt Press, they said, we have got the perfect illustrator for the Scrim story. And that's really all I knew about it. And when I first saw the galley, oh, did she ever just flesh out my little words perfectly and make the story so touching. And my favorite page, I think, is when Scrim comes to a stark realization that roaming alone is not quite a vacation. And he's looking very, you know, whimsily at a couple walking their dog. And she managed to give emotion to his face of missing a family, you know, that fleshed out my words so beautifully. It's my favorite page. He's just looking wistfully off at them. And I think he did miss a family. And I never thought of him as turning himself in, but I think you're right. Maybe he meant to get caught in that cat trap.
It's
happy now.
I've had
enough. And Eileen Bennett just did a fabulous job.
She really did. I wanted, you said this is your first experience with publishing. So you have a legal career background.
That's right.
And
it's pretty different from this.
And so did you always think you wanted to write a book?
Well, I don't know that I articulated it that way in my mind, but I did always like to write, and I always liked to write these rhyming things.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I would have to say yes. I never really dared to think that, I don't think. But it has been a fabulous experience, and especially with such a happy tale to tell.
Definitely.
And a tale of people coming together, and it's such a tale of unity and people coming together, community, you know, that's really what it's all about.
Yes.
And resilience, too, because Scrim never gave up. And the people of New Orleans never gave up on Scrim. I mean, this just went on for months and months, and you would think that, and there were so many things that made us think that he wasn't out there anymore, and he wouldn't be sighted for a couple of weeks, and everyone would think, well, I guess he got hit by a car. Michelle Cherami, who rescued him ultimately, will say that she, you know, sadly went a few times to identify dogs hit by cars to make sure it wasn't Scrim. And the community just pulled together in such a strong way for this dog.
It's beautiful.
And, you know, I think people are longing to do that. They just need a something to rally behind like this.
I agree. You're right. People are looking to connect, to have meaning. I just saw this last week on my show. I don't know if you heard of the singer Sophia James, but she posted something, and this group G7 formed, and then people started connecting from all over the world in such wonderful, sweet ways, and people want that.
They do.
We want to connect. We want to get to know one another. We want kindness right now.
Yes, and social media has been both a boon and a bane on this.
Yes.
But in this particular instance, or technology, I should say.
Sure.
In this particular instance, it was very helpful to have the scrimtracker.com, which, you know, you could open that on any given day and see where people had last seen Scrim. And so it's also depicted brilliantly by Eileen in the book, because she depicts it with the little markers all over the city on a map, and that's basically what it looked like. So, I mean, technology and word of mouth through social media and all of that did help find Scrim, and it did help him find his community. But it was really the people coming together themselves. And people would go out and spend the night in their cars looking for them.
Oh, really?
Or, you know, people really came up with scrim watches. And there's another QR in the back of QR code in the back of the book, which I thought was such a great idea, and it wasn't mine. The publisher did it. Mm-hmm. You can see a couple of people filming, looking for Scrim, and getting so excited when they see him. You know,
sure.
These people are sitting in a car, and oh my God, that's Scrim, that's Scrim. You know, you just
so
can't
cute.
Believe how happy people would get when they did find out that he was still alive and that they had found him and could go and tell his people that were looking for him the neighborhood he was in. And then that neighborhood would put out extra food that night and extra water. And
So sweet.
What a great story of just a city and a community coming together to help rescue a lost little dog.
Yes, it really is. Kindness and right there on display. So I wanted to ask you a couple things. When people read this book, what would you like them to take away from this? What is there a lesson, a big lesson, or a couple of lessons?
I'd say a couple of lessons. And number one is what we just talked about, the kindness of people and community pulling together. You know, what can be accomplished when we do pull together and use our sense of community, which is still there. We just have to find it.
Yes.
And secondly, you know, if Scrim's story speaks to you and you fall in love with Scrim, well, go adopt a Scrim because there are a lot of them. And rescue dogs are fabulous, and I've had several of them, and I've also had several, you know, purebred dogs, and there's no difference that I've found. I love them all, but I mean, if you've got it in your heart, go rescue a rescue dog just like Scrim, because there's a ton of them, and they're out there, and they have so much love to give, and you'll find that they end up rescuing you.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. I had this experience a long time ago, Kay, where I was living in Boston, and I wanted to adopt another cat, the first cat I found. It was so emaciated, a little kitten. And I went to a shelter, and I was thinking, oh, I'll get a kitten. And I fell in love with a cat that was 6 years old, and I called him Curly, and his tail had been broken, so it kind of looped back like a C. And he was amazing. It was the best thing I could have done.
Absolutely, and the fact that they're coming from a shelter usually means they're a little bit older, so you're not going to have these puppies chewing up your shoes, and they're usually house-trained by the shelter, and I mean, that's the whole thing that you can just skip, and
sure.
That's a major undertaking, so,
I know.
A little bit older, already house-trained, it's fabulous, it's a great experience, it's a great way to get a pet.
It really is. And think about what you're doing, because people decide for one reason or the other they can't have this animal anymore and it's older, and that's tough because not everybody wants to go in and get an older animal. And there's so many.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. And even if you have a favorite breed, and I grew up with dachshunds and I always loved dachshunds, you can find that breed, whatever breed you like. If you can go on and do a search of shelters in your area, which is very easy to do now online, and usually if you're willing to wait just a little bit, even if you really have your heart set on a certain type, you can usually get that. So, I mean, there's all kinds of animals in the shelters, not just mutts. And, you know, if that's what you're looking for, don't think that you have to go to a breeder. You don't.
Right. Great point. So we're going to wrap up soon, but could you tell me a little bit about your writing process? I mean, this is your first book. It's very creative. How did you tackle this? How did you find your best time to write?
Well, I wanted to hurry up and do this, so when the idea came to me, I just wanted to do it. So I just tackled it right away, and I'm not a professional writer at this point, so I can't say to you, oh, I set my alarm at 6 and write every morning like a lot of people do. I'm not like that. But because I write rhymes, I will say that I have a story in my brain, and I start with sort of key words, and I make a list of words that rhyme with them. Mm-hmm. And that sort of guides me to making what I consider to be kind of a rollicking toast. It's kind of my writing is kind of fast-paced, rhyming, rollicking poem.
I love it.
And that's how I do it. I start making lists of rhyming words.
Your publisher, Wait, excuse me. Your publisher is Susan, is it Schadt?
Schadt, S-C-H-A-D-T.
Press.
And she just did a fabulous book about Lynn Wyatt. So she has a really diverse group of book offerings. And I've just been so impressed with her and her company because they did everything from start to finish. And they do very high quality work. I mean, you've seen this book. And for your listeners, it's got kind of a... I don't know what to call it, but kind of a shiny pop out on the cover of Scrim's face.
Yes.
And so little children love the cover because you can feel his shiny little face.
Oh, I love it. It's,
and she did all of that. And her quality of her products is just beautiful.
It's kind of like almost three-dimensional a little bit.
Yeah.
Or two-dimensional.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was her.
It's fantastic.
That was her idea.
So you said you're not a professional writer, but I have to disagree because you're published. You did it. It's it's a huge accomplishment. And I love your publicist, Open Book Publicity, Emily Miles Terry, I've known for a while, and Leslie Rossman is a dear friend of mine. So you made it. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. They've done a wonderful job too, and I'm so glad that they had us meet up this way.
Yeah, they're great. You have a great team, and so any thoughts of writing another one?
I would love to. I just have to find the story that needs telling.
Well, I'm sure you will. You know,
I think I will.
Once you start, you kind of think, you know, this, I'm gonna. You'll come up with something, and it's just letting your mind be open to different things. And I mean, you found this story and you knew it had to be told. So that's fantastic. That's the biggest step.
It is. Thank you.
And you ended up in the New Yorker with the article, How to Save a Dog.
Well, Scrim did. I can't say that I mentioned, but Scrim was featured again recently, or mentioned again recently in the New Yorker. And,
yes.
You know, as I say before, he was in the New Yorker twice, and he was in the New York Times. He was in the London Mail. I mean, mm-hmm. He really has captured a huge variety of people's attention.
I love it. So where can people find out more about you, Kay?
Well, I'm on social media just under Kay Currington, so, you know, Currington, and the book is available on Amazon or most bookstore chains or your independent bookstores. You might have to ask them to order it, or you might not, but it's now published and out there, so.
It's out in the world.
I've had a lot of adults really like the book, too. So, I mean, it is a children's book to some extent, but it's also really a story of resilience and not giving up, and I think it speaks to adults as well, or so I'm told.
I didn't ask this, but are you a self-taught poet, or did you study poetry?
I am a self-taught poet, yes. I always have been a voracious reader, and, you know, so I will credit that, but I like reading and writing.
Well, you did a great job. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
So if you're just tuning in or you caught half of this, I've been speaking about the book Scrim with author Kay Currington, and it's she's a lifelong animal lover, which shows, and an advocate. And we talked about this book Scrim that just came out about a month ago, A New Orleans Story of Resilience and Rescue. It's out now. If you visit the show blog, getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org, you'll find out details. So Kay, thank you so much and congratulations.
Thank you so much, Anna. I appreciate having me on.
Absolutely. Be well. All right, that's a wrap for my conversation with Kay Currington. I'm almost done with this week's show, and at the top of the hour, SoCal New Waver with Pass Forward. Again, I want to thank all of my new listeners who connected with me online. It's been incredible. It's been a very interesting week, I would say. I haven't been on TikTok much, and last week I decided to jump on and create this TikTok, and what I really noticed is exactly what Kay was saying. Like, people really do want to connect. They want to collaborate and empathize and show compassion and support one another. And I, you know, and that's really what it came down to with G7, and people are still doing it. And the energy and positivity has been overwhelming, not just for Sophia James, but someone like myself. So, and thanks to Sophia James for coming on my TikTok and commenting and showing appreciation, and I'm more than happy to do it. So I think we'll wrap up with another one of her songs, and again, top of the hour, SoCal New Waver. And if you've not heard Sophia's song, So Unfair, you can just stream it It's everywhere right now. And again, show some support for indie artists. It's a tough road, and you know, it's a good thing to do. All right, you've been listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'm Janine, and this is Get the Funk Out.